Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, my first guest today asks, what if you discovered that the best place to begin your personal pursuit of happiness is at the end of your fork? Emerging neuroscience shows that you can actually improve your mental and emotional well-being simply by changing what you eat. Probably no surprise to people who eat really healthy, but this science is that all kinds of things are being found. We can also stabilize our moods through our food, improve focus, and even make your brain grow. I'm interested in hearing about that bit. And we'll be looking at how fast food might be causing your child's asthma, how beets can boost your mood, and the science of food synergy. Dr. Drew Ramsey specializes in mood and anxiety disorders, and he'll be joining us in just a few minutes. Now, my second guest today is, we're doing a follow-up to a segment that we did earlier this year, a couple of months ago, and I was really surprised by the amount of feedback that we got on this topic, and the topic was sexual addiction. And I heard from people from all over who said thank you for doing a segment on this. And today, we're going to be talking with my first guest's wife. Her name is Paldram Catherine Collins. She's a former Buddhist nun who married a former sex addict. George Collins was my first guest. And when I tweeted on this last night, I received a couple of messages from people who respectfully asked, are you joking, a former Buddhist nun who married a former sex addict? And the answer is no. And they have a very healthy relationship and have this great foundation where they help other people through this situation. And today, Paldram is going to be focusing on talking about how to build trust. You know, this is I would imagine, a very devastating situation for a couple to go to, especially if they've been together for a long time. And she's going to talk about how to rebuild trust and restore intimacy in your relationship after sexual addiction has been acknowledged. But it's our first week back, and so before we go live today, we are live now, but before we bring our guests on today, I just wanted to wish each of you a happy new year, and I hope that you have a very healthy, very happy, very joyful, and very successful new year based on how you define success. Talking of success, before we move off that, I want to just let you know that coming up this week, we have an event that's in, excuse me, I'm just trying to find my notes here so I don't tell you wrong. It is this week. It's January 15th. We have an event coming up, not we, but Jennifer Yost puts this on, and we wanted to let you know about it. It's called The One Gathering. It's been running in Seattle for a few years now, and I know Jennifer Yost and other people work very hard on bringing this together. But it's all about creating a multi-sensory program to expand heart-centered consciousness. And Jennifer describes it as a program like no other for transcending these times of change. They want you to walk away from this event energetically interconnected and calibrated to the energies of the planet. And it's called The One Gathering. We've talked about it on the show the past couple of years. It is coming up this Sunday, January 16th, 2012, at 4 p.m., runs from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And Jennifer has very kindly donated a couple of tickets to our listening audience. So stay tuned. We're going to open the phone lines in a little while, and we'll give somebody the opportunity, a couple of people the opportunity, to win a ticket, which actually two tickets would be up to a $60 value. It's at the Century Ballroom. It's on East Pine Street, Seattle, Washington, and $25 in advance and $30 at the door. So please stay tuned, and we'll give a couple of people an opportunity to win a ticket to that courtesy of Jennifer Yost. And we'll remind listeners again at the end of the show. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to see if we have our guest ready for you, Dr. Drew Ramsey. Looking forward to talking with him. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicky at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772.
Need a lift into the shift? The One Gathering returns January 15th, 2012 at the Century Ballroom in Seattle. Make the quantum leap into our new love-based paradigm at this entertaining and healing multi-sensory program that expands heart consciousness. Join musicians Narayan and Janet, author Dr. Joyce Hawks, energy intuitives Jennifer Yost and Samantha Parrott. $25 tickets on sale now at theonegathering.com. Be a part of the light wave. Visit theonegathering.com.
Life is not a parabolic curve. Doesn't go straight up. A lot of lumps, a lot of bumps, a lot of throttling up, a lot of throttling down. I have never yet met a successful person that hasn't had to overcome either little or a lot of adversity in his or her life.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, in his own irrepressible and irreverent style, Harvey McKay shares decades of inspirational lessons and solid gold-selling wisdom to help you make 2012 your best year ever. Join us next Monday at noon Pacific time on Conversations Live. See conversationslive.net and follow us on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And we have our guest with us now on the phone, Dr. Drew Ramsey. His new book is called The Happiness Diet, a nutritional prescription for a sharp brain, balanced mood, and lean, energized body. And Dr. Drew Ramsey is an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbia University. He specializes in the treatment of anxiety and mood disorders. And he co-wrote this book with Tyler Graham, who's a health journalist. He was previously the health and environmental editor at O, the Oprah magazine, the nutrition editor at Prevention, and the environment editor at Best Life. Dr. Drew Ramsey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Vicky. Nice to be talking to you.
Well, I have to say, I often joke I could write a book about nutrition, but I learned so much from this book and the new research that's coming out. And I think it's a great source for people. Why was this important for you to write this right now?
I'm a psychiatrist, and so I work every day with patients who have questions about their mood and their concentration, about their brain health. And food is getting to be more and more on people's radar as an important intervention. And there's lots of new science increasingly linking how we eat to our brain health, which really equals your risk of things like depression, dementia, all these diseases that are making the headlines. So it felt like a great time to try and spread that message and help people build a better brain.
Right. Now, we've heard of MAD, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but you call our diet MAD. Tell us about that.
Right. So the MAD is the Modern American Diet, and it's a diet that if you just look at the data of what happens when people eat this diet, they get obese, they get diabetes, they have higher risk of cancer, and they also have smaller brains. Over time, having those illnesses shrinks the brain. And we also know that illnesses like diabetes and dementia are at record highs. So So the modern American diet, you know, just to break it down, is eating way too much processed food. So we're getting lots and lots of sugar and refined carbohydrates. We're getting lots and lots of fats, but the wrong kind of fats. Your brain's actually made of fat, so the type of fats in your diet really dictate something about brain health. And so, yeah, the hope of the book is to get people off the mad diet and start eating the happiness diet.
Yeah, and we should say this isn't a diet where you have to eat X amount of this every day and X amount of that. There are no quick fixes. There are no quick cures. You're just talking good, plain, common nutritional sense based on the latest scientific research.
There is. I think there are surprises. I mean, there's a cheeseburger on the cover of the book for a
reason. Yeah, yeah.
Cheeseburgers are on the diet. I mean, as a friend joked, it's a diet made up of foods that you like to eat. And I'm a strong believer that eating shouldn't be a math equation. So it's not about counting calories. It's really about looking what's in front of you and making sure that you're eating the right mix of nutrients for the brain, and to stop eating all these things that people get on the mad diet.
Right. And tell us how the book's broken down, because this was kind of interesting. I mean, I throughout the book, you've scattered the top 100 reasons to stop buying processed food. Now, we hear about this all the time. We've talked about this many, many times on this show alone, and I know other health shows, especially on KKNW, have talked about it too. But some of the things I read on those top 100 bullets that you scattered throughout the book, they really shocked me. Like, I'm going to share one right now, the FDA.
Please do. Yeah, which ones did you like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the FDA allows, okay, this is okay. The FDA says it's okay for 19 maggots and 74 mites to be in a 3.5-ounce can of mushrooms.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of these documents you can actually find quite quickly, and it's a little, you know, you have to set a standard. What is, you know, what's an acceptable amount of vermin in food, and what isn't? That's one of the advantages of getting more involved with your food and not having other people prepare it for you, which is pretty easy to do, is that you have a great idea of how many maggots are in the food. Zero.
Right. I remember my mother still doesn't like eating canned tomatoes, because when I was 5 years old, she found a maggot in a can of tomatoes.
It's horrible.
And doesn't like eating.
We're also learning that canned foods are a huge source of a chemical that's particularly bad for the brain, this bisphenol A or BPA, which is making a lot of headlines. And that's also been, I think, a good example or kind of a wake-up call for, like, the trans fats. These are things that you're only going to find in processed foods. You're not going to find BPA or trans fats in whole foods and natural foods and the kind of foods that we recommend. So,
right.
Apple
sauce is something else that's been in the news lately, over the holidays, before the holidays, and conflicting reports on that. But you say there are an extraordinarily high number of pesticides often found in applesauce.
Yeah, it happens in a lot of these foods. It's really such a tragedy, especially when people are trying to make a healthy choice. Something like apples, which, you know, usually are good for us, but they're one of the foods we know that you need to buy organically, and they're one of the foods that, do oftentimes have pesticides. We just saw. She did a slideshow for somebody, and Tyler found a statistic. Something like 57 pesticides were found on conventional celery. So again, you know, a good food,
A
good choice usually, but how what we've done to our food supply is getting really apparent.
Yeah, and you said that, I remember reading in the book that if we soak our apples, and I want to ask you, is this true of other vegetables and fruits? If we soak our apples in a little, like one part white vinegar and three parts water for an hour or more, it helps reduce the number of pesticides still there?
Yeah, that's a little acid bath. I mean, that's going to help. I think the best advice usually is, because I don't think usually people, that's one of those steps that kind of slows people down. I think it's better that there are certain things just to go ahead and buy organic, you know, to spend a little bit more money or buy it in season and freeze it. I mean, apples are a good example of that, something that's, you know, it's easy, especially right now, or the last couple months in New York, and in you guys in Washington, I mean, you've got the best apples in the country. So,
yes.
You know, it's the kind of thing that finding and connecting to your local food resources, you guys have great orchards and great organic orchards, so use your food dollars to support those folks. And know that you're not getting any pesticides. I mean, that's the easiest way to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Another point of interest on the top 100 reasons to avoid processed foods was that You said in children, eating fast food twice weekly might be the cause of that child's asthma.
Yeah. So there are a number. You know, these are all correlative studies. But one of the things that I think is very important to look at is you know, I mean, at first all we had was correlative studies about smoking and lung cancer. And so what's the best indication of things that we can do to help protect our kids' brains? I mean, I have an 11-month-old. So as I was writing the book, I was, you know, I'm working on the book, watching this baby be formed and then born, and now feeding her. And it became a really important issue for me of what am I going to give my child to maximize her brain, help give her the best brain possible. And it was really shocking to see statistics, you know, amazing studies. Like there was a, I think it was in Dallas, but there was a study where they looked at giving kids organic foods, and within a week the level of pesticides dropped in their body. And
amazing.
It's something that I don't think we realize, that, you know, you put it on the food, even, you know, well-meaning to try and increase yields, and it ends up in our kids' blood. And that's just, you know, that's where, you know, a lot of these things are neurotoxins. It gets your attention.
Yeah. A lot of the companies that make foods with corn syrup, fructose, have been fighting back lately because people are becoming more educated. And so they've been fighting back more lately, saying it's just sugar, it's the same. But you say that fructose actually blocks leptin, which is a hormone that tells your brain you're full.
Yeah, fructose is a sugar that we've always eaten. It's in ripe fruit, it's in honey. But it's nothing we've ever eaten in these amounts. I mean, both high fructose corn syrup and table sugar sucrose, which is made of glucose and fructose, both these things, we're now eating 52 teaspoons of sugar a day. That's what the average American eats. That's an increase of 3,000% in the last 200 years. And fructose, I've actually got a video blog going up pretty soon about visceral fat, which is the fat around your organs that we know is particularly dangerous. And fructose vastly increases that. There was a study that over 10 weeks, people getting fructose-flavored drinks had an increase of visceral fat of 14%. That's just 10 weeks.
Wow.
And so it's trying to, you know, think about beyond just, you know, whether high fructose corn syrup is a good or bad thing, or whether it's better or worse than sugar. I think it's really important for people to realize that it's sugar that's the issue. and it's all sugars, and there's way too much of it in the diet right now.
Yeah, and you say even sugar-free foods, which many people turn to, can still raise blood sugar because they're sweetened with sugar alcohols. You know, I know a lot of people who turn to that.
Well, I always think it's a bad idea to turn to sugar-free foods for one reason. It still takes sweet, and I'm a firm believer that you don't want to feed the brain bad information. And when you eat sweet foods, your brain's expecting to get something, and then you're giving it something else. I just don't think that makes good common sense to me. It also adjusts your palate to kind of have and desire a sweet taste. I mean, there are very clear studies that people who eat and drink sugar-free foods or sugar, you know, diet soda, they consume just as many, if not more, calories per day.
Mm.
And I think part of that is people have just gotten accustomed to these very fake tastes.
Right. Well, you also say we are to stop worrying about fat, cholesterol, and even calories. And I'm going to save that for after the break. We'll take a very quick break and be right back with Dr. Drew Ramsey. His book is really packed full of great information, the latest scientific research on our food. It's called A Nutritional Prescription for a Sharp Brain, Balanced Mood, and Lean, Energized Body. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Need a lift into the shift? The One Gathering returns January 15th, 2012 at the Century Ballroom in Seattle. Make the quantum leap into our new love-based paradigm at this entertaining and healing multi-sensory program that expands heart consciousness. Join musicians Narayan and Janet, author Dr. Joyce Hawks, Energy Intuitive's Jennifer Yost and Samantha Parrott. $25 tickets on sale now at theonegathering.com. Be a part of the light wave. Visit theonegathering.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Dr. Drew Ramsey. His book is called The Happiness Diet. He co-authored this with Tyler Graham, who's also a health journalist. Dr. Drew Ramsey is a psychiatrist who specializes in the treatment of anxiety and mood disorders. And this book is based on the latest and greatest scientific research, neuroscientific research. Prescription for a sharp brain, balanced mood, and energized body. So I wanted to talk. You say, okay, because we you say a lot of controversial things in here by many people's standards. However, I don't doubt any of the information in here that you say, Drew, because I was vegetarian for many years, and I know I do feel better now. I eat meat and fish again. So you say stop worrying about fat, cholesterol, and even calories. Talk to us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, that's the nation's been obsessed with those issues, and I don't think it doesn't seem like it's worked very well. I mean, we're now at obesity rates of, you know, 2/3 of the nation, obesity of about 1/3. 97 million Americans now have prediabetes, and 12% of American adults take antidepressant drugs. So it's not that those aren't important issues. Fat is an incredibly important issue. As I said earlier, your brain is made of fat, and there are particular fats that we know are absolutely fundamental to brain function. It's that the world or America's gotten really obsessed with low-fat or no-fat food. And let's just take milk as an example. When you buy skim milk, you're buying milk without the fat in it. There's a fat in grass-fed milk. And we really ask people to look at dairy and at meat, and by very particular dairy and meat, there's a fat called conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA. And we know that fat is linked to not having as much belly fat. It looks like it works as an anti-carcinogen. It prevents the formation of cancer. It's a very important. It's linked to a lower risk of heart disease. And this is the kind of thing that people have been cutting out of their diet. And so something like the omega-3 fats. You know, these fats are absolutely essential to your brain's functioning, probably the most important fat in your brain. When you go on a low-fat diet or you eat a lot of MAD, you don't get as many omega-3 fats. That's bad for the brain. You know, in terms of cholesterol, there's a long story in the book about cholesterol. Eating dietary cholesterol doesn't do a whole lot to your blood cholesterol, and it causes people to avoid foods. The classic example are eggs. Eggs are an amazing way to start your day. Lots and lots of brain nutrients, really low in calories, 70, 80 calories in an egg. But people avoid them because they're high in cholesterol. That probably isn't the most important. Shouldn't be at the top of your list in terms of how you pick foods. And then calorie counting, you don't need a calorie count on the happiness diet because you're going to be full, because these are satiating right. foods. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to have eaten a ton of plants, which have lots of fiber that help fill you up. You're going to eat in happy, healthy fats. So it's, you know, I have no idea how many calories I eat a day. I haven't really gained or lost any weight for quite a while. But I try and eat a moderate amount of very nutrient-dense food.
Right. And you say, yes, I was glad to hear this, bacon and eggs can be mood-boosting foods, because just occasionally I really enjoy bacon and eggs.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Me too. And again, it's looking at that meat. I try and get my meat, you know, from somebody that I know.
Yeah.
Which isn't very hard to do in America these days. I mean, what's the good news in this book is we have an incredible agricultural system in America, and the book's dedicated to America's farmers. I grew up on a small family farm. I mean, there's just, if you begin to look around and you get out of the supermarket and go to a website like localharvest.org, you're going to find an amazing amount of farm fresh food, and bacon's a great example. You can get a nitrate-free, antibiotic-free, real bacon. And that, you know, it is amazing how flavorful it is. And just a couple strips is all you need. And you feel, you know,
right,
full and good and
satiated.
You haven't really got anything that's bad.
Yeah. Well, I want to just ask you your thoughts on vegetarianism and veganism, because you and I were both vegetarians for many years.
Recovering vegetarians. And I have nothing against a vegetarian diet. It's a good idea in principle, which vegetables or plants have a lower environmental impact. And so we should eat more plants. Most people, that is something that I really recommend. It's that meat is also an essential part of the human diet. And there, you know, people are going to argue back and forth on that. But my feeling is that there are some nutrients, like vitamin B12 is the best example. You only get that in animal or animal products. It's absolutely essential for your brain to function. Like, you know, conjugated linoleic acid, a fat we were talking about, that only comes from grass-fed animals. So I think of meat as kind of a health elixir. You get a tremendous amount of nutrients, and if you do it right, you don't really get anything that's bad for you.
Right.
But it's popular. Only about, like, I think it's like 3% of Americans are actual vegetarians. Very few are vegans. But it gets a lot of press, and people like the idea of it. It's not a healthy diet.
Right, right. So let's look at some foods that actually, we've talked about some of them throughout the course of this conversation, but let's look at some of the most important foods. And one in particular I want to look at is, how do I grow my brain?
Right, right. Well, growing your brain, so there's a lot of new science in the book about this molecule called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is science talk for its miracle growth for the brain. It's a molecule that promotes the birth of new brain cells and promotes connections between brain cells. I mean, a lot of people have heard about serotonin and it boosting mood, but really the coolest stuff is about BDNF. And BDNF, we know it increases when you eat the omega-3s. So out there in Seattle, you guys have some of the best seafood. So mm-hmm. That's going to be mainly in fatty fish, mackerel, anchovies. One of my favorite sources are oysters. These are amazing mood-boosting foods. They're packed with omega-3s, with zinc, with iron, with B12, with vitamin D even. All these nutrients we know the brain needs. So those are good. We haven't talked about many vegetables. You want to talk about some of your favorite vegetables on the list?
Yes, I love vegetables. I love vegetables. I really do, actually. I'm on a micronutrient plan this week to try and get myself back to normal after the holidays.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, because vegetables are key to that. They're so versatile. They're also, I think, one of the best arguments. People say, I can't afford to do this diet. I say that's completely bogus. That eating rate does not cost more money. Let's say it costs 10% more money. I can't think about your money going to something better than your brain and your mood. But vegetables are great. You know, I take a couple heads ago. I've got a recipe on my blog for purple cauliflower, and I just love to chop that stuff up, and I do a quick saute and a little bit of butter, or I'll oven roast it with just a little sea salt on it, and it's just absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other great ones on the diet, we talk a lot about lycopene and the carotenoids, because they're fat-soluble nutrients that are linked to better brain health, and those are going to be in tomatoes. I particularly like cherry tomatoes, just because they're smaller. You get a little bit more skin. You know, things like the cruciferous vegetables, kale, Brussels sprouts. And we've got great recipes. Because I think a lot of these people think Brussels sprouts is a good example. People think, yuck, you know, they have those like mushy green orgs. Brussels sprouts
good.
In the book, we've got an amazing way to do it. You shave them down, you saute them with a little bit of bacon, and you get this delicious caramelized flavors of a little bit of, you know, just half a strip of bacon and then all these Brussels sprouts, and it's just a delicious dish. So
yeah, I steam mine because I like mine quite firm, and I think they're delicious. But
they're absolutely great if you do them right.
Yeah. Let's quickly look at some food label tricks that we need to be aware of. There's so much information in this book. It's you know, I'm trying to pull out key bits that I thought we haven't talked about before on this show. So often we're misled very easily by food labels.
We are. I mean, the first trick about food labels is to not get zoned out, which happens. There's so much information out there about food and on the packaging that people forget to look at the ingredients. I do that myself sometimes. And just look at it and translate the ingredients. And I tell people, translate it into the basics. Is it a sugar or is it a fat or is it a protein? That's mainly what gets added into our food or what is used to make our food. And, you know, the words that people, like vitamin water, for example, turn it over. It has crystalline fructose in it. So you're eating, you're drinking 100% sugar-based or fructose-based drink, and that's a sugar that your muscles actually can't use. So when it's in a sports drink, it just kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder. Fructose, actually, 90% of the fructose that you take in your body can only be turned into fat.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a lot of things like corn syrup solids, and that's a fancy way of saying sugar. You'll see things like maltodextrin, fancy way of saying sugar. So there's a lot of fancy ways to say sugar. I look for soy products, things like textured vegetable protein or soy protein isolate. I just try and avoid those because, you know, people have never eaten that stuff before.
Right,
And I know where I want to get my protein. I want to get it from, you know, beans and dairy and meat. And then I look for the unpronounceables, things that I just don't know what it is. And, you know, having spent a number of years now looking at what we put in our food, I want to be really clear what I'm feeding myself and feeding my family. And I think more people in America feel that way. And it's not hard to do. One of my favorite of that list of 100 reasons not to eat processed food is that an apple doesn't have an ingredient list.
And, that's true.
You know, you buy an organic apple and you can just trust, you know what it is. Same thing with, you know, salmon, grass-fed beef. So if you, it's really, there's almost a feeling I have that if you're reading a label, you should be suspicious because you're going to, you know, a good example is you'll see that a breakfast cereal has 100% of vitamin E, but it just has one form of vitamin E, usually alpha tocopherol. And we know that in supplement form, some of these vitamins actually increase your risk of death and your risk of cancer. And in the natural world, you know, you don't have to worry about those risks, but also you get more forms. There are 8 forms of vitamin E out there in natural food, and they do different things in the body. There's some things we haven't figured out yet. So,
well, I would say if I can't pronounce it, it doesn't belong in my body. This is a really great book. You, in addition to sharing the latest scientific research, you share recipes, as you said. You also share top 100 reasons to avoid supplements and top 100 reasons to avoid processed food. And I'm going to share another one with our listeners. Next time you reach for in the supermarket for some pudding or frozen dessert or candy, just bear this in mind. It may contain I don't know if I'm saying this right. Castoreum?
Castoreum.
Castoreum, which is derived from beavers' anal glands. So that's put me off that stuff right now. But and also you've got recipes, I said, at the back of the book. And I love this Foods for a Better Mood cooking segment, How to Cure Your Grumpy Husband or Wife in 5 Easy Meals. Dr. Drew Ramsey, this is a great book. I appreciate you being with us and sharing the latest research.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I hope everybody can use some of the info and build a better brain in 2012.
And where can we find out more information about you?
You can find out more information about me on my website, which is drewramseymd.com. There's also a website for the book, thehappinessdietbook.com. And, the book's available everywhere. And if people have questions, they have successes or stories they want to share, I'm really eager to hear those. I just heard from a woman on just a few minutes ago who just, the book's been out for just a few weeks, but she said she'd been on it for a week and lost 7 pounds, which was surprising, but, you know, great to hear. So
excellent. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Vicki. Have a great day.
You too. My guest again, Dr. Drew Ramsey, the book, The Happiness Diet. Great information in here. Please do stay with us. When we come back, we'll be joined by Paldrum Catherine Collins. And we're also going to open up the phone lines and give away 2 tickets to The One Gathering.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967 because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicky at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. We are in our last segment of today. It's my first show back live this year, and I'm just getting into it.
Back into the swing of things.
Well, you know, I was all organized before the show started, and then for some reason my papers got shuffled when we opened, and I was like, what? Where did everything go? But anyway, we're going to bring Paldrum Catherine Collins on in just one moment and hear her story and how she helps couples reunite and build trust and intimacy after sexual addiction. But before we do that, Eric's going to open up the phone lines, and we have a ticket to give away to two callers for the One Gathering. It's a multi-sensory program to expand heart-centered consciousness. It's been in Seattle for 2, 3, 4 years now. The whole purpose of this is so that the featured guests want you to walk away energetically interconnected and calibrated to the energies of the planet. It's next Sunday, January 15th. Each ticket is up to a $30 value, so we appreciate Jennifer Yost donating those as guest tickets for our listeners.
So one ticket for each winner, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to take the first two callers?
I'll let you decide that. You're manning the phone there.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm going to
make enough decisions today.
I'm going to make the executive decision here that we'll take the first two callers right now at 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
All right, phone lines are open. And I'm going to introduce Paldrum Catherine Collins, who is my next guest. And she is a former Buddhist nun. She is married to a former sex addict. And in her work now, she helps couples work through their sexually addicted relationships at Compulsion Solutions. It's an outpatient counseling service. And I'd like to bring on Paldrum Collins. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm very good. And I want to just share a little background here because your husband, George, joined us a little while ago. He is a former recovering, recovering addict. He's a recovering addict,
recovering,
I guess.
Recovering is good, yeah.
No different to any other addiction. I mean, it is proven now. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit just about how you guys connected and in the beginning, because you're a former Buddhist nun, and it sounds, you know, I'm sure many people have raised eyebrows when you've announced that and you married a recovering sex addict. How did you guys get together?
Well, yeah, I raised my eyebrows when I first met him. I often tell the story that the first when I first met him and he told me what he did for a living, that I wanted to stick my fingers in my ears and start shouting la la la. You know, I didn't want to hear anything about that. It seemed really like not something to talk about in mixed companies. So, but you know, he is a you talked with him. He's a charming man and a wonderful man. And you know, over time, I really came to see that you know we can really learn to recover, and if you apply yourself appropriately, not only can you, and this is what I see with our clients too, not only can you just recover, you can actually build a stronger, a more deep relationship, because if you deal with a problem, then you actually bring more consciousness into your relationship, which is, can be really wonderful.
Right. Now, I think this is probably a question that a lot of addicts, regardless of their addiction, ask themselves, is when they meet somebody new, how far into the relationship do they go before they announce, hey, I am a recovering addict?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I think you need to do it right away. You know, George did with me, and my sense is that the more you tell the truth, the better off you're going to be. Because if we're trying to kind of manage what we say and what we don't say, it just doesn't work very well. So I really believe in just telling the truth, and I think that works out in general in life quite well.
Mm-hmm. And I want to let listeners know that you've written a new book. It's called A Couple's Guide to Sexual Addiction. And following the segment that I did with George a couple of months ago, I was really surprised by how much response we got. I got emails from people all over the place, even overseas. So it's a very real issue that husbands and wives have to deal with.
Yeah, it is, and
I guess women are affected just like men, or women can be addicted just like males can be addicted. But typically, it is a male addiction. Is that correct, or am I
That's
wrong?
That's right. Yeah, I was just reading an article this morning that someone sent me about how it's becoming more and more of a female problem. But it basically, at least in my experience, it is more of a male problem, and I think the reason for that is because of the whole testosterone machinery that guys have. So as women inside of this society that we live in, this society of sexualization and objectification of women, as women, we sexualize and objectify ourselves by wanting to be the perfect sex object. And the men more are lusting after the sexual release. So it shows up kind of in different ways. So for women, for us, it would more have a tendency to show up when we are using relationship as wanting to be with someone, more of a love sort of relationship connection sort of hunger, rather than just the sexual release hunger that shows up for men.
Mm. Now, I know in your case, as in other cases, you knew up front what you were getting into with, maybe you didn't, I don't know, but you knew.
We never know totally up front, do we?
No, I that's why I kind of halted on that.
Yeah.
But George had told you up front that he was a recovering addict.
Yeah.
What, and you know, for somebody who's been married a long time and then suddenly finds out they're in a relationship with a sex addict, it's a huge shock. You talk in the book about getting past the shock. Let's look at how we take that on board, first of all. And, you know, obviously there's going to be reaction to begin with, but how do we start working through just the shock of that?
Well, you know, different people have different reactions. You know, oftentimes it's kind of a creeping sort of for women in their relationships, like, something doesn't seem quite right. What's going on? Where is he? What's he doing? So really getting past the shock is really a matter of opening your eyes up and directly experiencing, as with everything, just being able to directly experience what the emotions, the feelings, the all of that is coming in and really, really meeting that deeply. And, you know, that's really true with anything in our lives. And you've probably talked to a lot of people about that.
Yeah. And when we're dealing with this, I mean, if we make the decision to stay in a relationship, it's got to be a full 100%. There's none of this 50-50 stuff going on. It's got to be a full 100% commitment, right?
Well, yes. And you know what I often say to women is either you want to go or you don't. I mean, that's kind of, you know, like if you want to leave the relationship, that's pretty clear. Like, you're just done. But if you're not done, even though you hate what's going on and you think this is awful, I don't like it, I don't want it, which, of course, right, that's how you're pretty much how you're going to feel. But if for whatever reason you want to stay, then stay in an investigatory sort of way and see what, you know, see what you have to learn by this is what's shown up. So how are you going to work with yourself inside of this particular problem so that whatever is going on inside of you can really reveal something that you need to see. Mm-hmm. So whether you stay in this relationship or not, you've learned what you need to learn from being in this particular situation.
Yeah. And I would think that, you know, one of the places you have to start is with, is dealing with shame and blame and not going there. I mean, people are going to go there to a certain extent, but how do you work with couples when that shame comes up and the blaming situation comes up?
Yeah, you know, that's so hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's hard for all of us because whenever we feel something that feels bad, one of the really normal reactions that we have is to try to get that bad feeling away from us. And one of the ways that is instinctive for us to do that is to point our finger and say, "You're making me feel that way. Stop that." So that whole feeling of shame that arises, particularly like in the case for a woman whose husband is acting out sexually, we as women have shame. Like somehow it's our fault. Somehow that there's something wrong with us. Somehow we should measure up to the porn images, and it's just not true. So for us to really directly meet that feeling of shame and see that for what it is, that's just a response that we're having in a moment, then if we can really, really feel the shame and see it for what it is, then we don't have to place the blame on someone else to try to get that feeling away from us. We can directly meet it, and that changes the whole dynamic with the couple. So see, every problem has at its root a way to work through the problem to deepen our own relationship with ourselves in that way.
Yeah, I love the way you describe it in the book about your liberation from shame and blame comes from inside. The balm you truly seek and need ultimately must be applied by compassion and tenderness for yourself, for the part of you that is siding with the "I am bad" conclusion.
Yeah, that I did say that really well. Yeah, but that's right. I haven't met anyone yet who doesn't have some kind of sense of insecurity.
Yeah.
Some kind of feeling, and so what goes on in our most intimate relationships is our partner on the outside kind of lights up for us.
What, we just have a couple of minutes literally left, about 1 minute left.
Okay.
And I want to just ask you, what do you see when you're working with couples as the biggest barrier to building relationship trust and intimacy?
Well, I'm not sure what I suspect that the biggest barrier is the thing that we're talking about is having love and compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't start there, then if you can't start with this feeling of connecting deeply, compassionately, lovingly with yourself, then it's really hard to bring that to an intimate relationship.
Right. Now, do you use this book in your work? I know you've built this book around your work. Is this something you have your patients or clients read?
Yeah, that we have the clients work through it, and we can go through it chapter by chapter. And you know, each person, of course, we work with individually and differently, depending on the case and you know how blown up the situation is. Or so we have. So it really is a step by step approach. But yes, oftentimes we work through the book directly.
Well, for people who are out there, I'm sure this is a very, very challenging issue to deal with and probably a very embarrassing issue to them at some level to share. But there is help out there. Tell our listeners, please, Paldrum, where they can find out more information about you and George Collins and the center.
Yes, thanks. Yes, they can call us at Compulsion Solutions, and we have a website, compulsionsolutions.com. And George also has a book for guys on sex addiction called Breaking the Cycle, and then there's our book together, this couple's guide, and they can call us at 925-932-0201. And, you know, we also have a Compulsion Solutions therapist in the Seattle area.
Oh, that's good to know. So, but they can get hold of you first and then take it from there. And
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Vicki, thank you.
Paldrum, Catherine Collins is my book, Couple's Guide to Sexual Addiction, a step-by-step plan to rebuild trust and restore intimacy. Lots of stories that would be helpful to someone in this situation shared in here. Hey, I want to thank you for being with us today. I've got to rush off. We're right at the end of the show, but I wish you all the best, and please join us next week. Until then, live well, live strong.